This is KBOO Portland. You're listening to the Old Mole Variety Hour. Now Chelsea Ratzliff interviews playwright Tara Holtbringer on Holtbringer's new play, Ways of Trying. It's a solo show about queer love and liberation with original music. This project is a selection of Fertile Ground Festival 2021 and will premiere on February 3rd at 7 p.m. Ways of Trying is deeply personal yet very relatable. It responds to current events such as the pandemic and the uprising for racial justice and shows that queerness is transformative for the self and society.
Chelsea Ratzliff here for the Old Mole Variety Hour on KBOO. I'm speaking today with Tara Holtbringer. Tara is a writer, director, musician, performer, and teaching artist at Northwest Children's Theater. They have recently performed with Bag and Baggage and Milagro Theater. Tara is the writer and performer in their upcoming play, Ways of Trying, with direction from Cassie Greer, Kate Mura, and Georgina Escobar. Ways of Trying is a solo show about queerness, community, and liberation, and is part of the Fertile Ground Festival of New Works. The play will premiere on February 3rd, 2021, and will be available to view until February 15th. Welcome to KBOO, Tara. We're excited to have you back on the show.
Thank you so much, Chelsea. It's great to be here.
In Ways of Trying, you use live looping to give the audience the impression of circularity, of returning, of continuing to try, for example, to be accepted in childhood, trying to be okay during a pandemic, and trying to be an ally for liberation during an uprising. Talk about what inspired the title and substance of this piece and what you hope viewers will glean from it.
Ways of Trying started as a series of poems that explore different ways of seeking love, belonging, and acceptance as a queer person. And trying is key because we are all constantly shifting, adapting, and practicing. It's not a journey to perfection, but is a path or many paths to ourselves. Ways of Trying is about growing into queer sexuality and gender nonconformity, questioning power and privilege, and reclaiming joy in riot. I want to connect my personal life experiences with the communal struggle for liberation for all people. And so I explore reverberations between the uprising for racial justice and oppressive societal conditioning and my own vulnerable histories of love and heartbreak. And as I leaned into this piece, a lot of questions came up that I tried to address, like how do my privileges interact with these themes, and what is originality, and what makes my story unique, and what makes my story very relatable and universal. I hope that my audience recognizes that all of us are impacted, though in very different ways, by racism, capitalism, and the cis-heteropatriarchy. And I hope that they feel the freedom to question and to break rules and conventions. I want to give the audience permission to pursue their own self-liberation.
How does the play address the difference between performative activism and real accountability and impact, particularly when we think about the often kind of performative nature of land acknowledgement statements?
In this piece, I included a section where I acknowledge my privileges as a white, abled person, and then challenge myself to go deeper, to go beyond the surface where a lot of performative activism ends, to ask myself what anti-racist action and accountability for harm looks like in my life. And I certainly struggle with the fear that this is simply performative. It is a performance, of course, but it also reflects my real life. So being accountable to my community and to the movement means going beyond words into meaningful action, or even leaving the words out of it entirely, but to just acting when and where we are able to humbly work for justice. I struggle somewhat with having the privilege and the platform of having this show, and it feels like the right thing for me to do to acknowledge and to grapple with those complexities in the piece itself. I believe that land acknowledgements are very important, but they can be hollow and rote when they're not done with real substance. They can just be a new part of politically correct culture. Acknowledgement is nothing without addressing personal complicity and active steps to decolonize and support Indigenous sovereignty.
You establish that the setting of the piece in Ways of Trying is Riot Day, and you reference the Stonewall Riots of 1969, an uprising led by Black trans women protesting the police raid of the Stonewall Inn in New York when liquor licenses were not given to gay establishments. Can you talk about the lessons of the Stonewall Riots and the central role of Black trans women?
Well, first of all, Riot Day is a fictional holiday that I created for this show. One that celebrates all that is subversive, transformative, and queer. And I bring up the Stonewall Riots because they were fundamental in shifting the gay rights movements from assimilation to liberation. Many of the rights and privileges that gay people have nowadays are owed to the work and passion of Black and Brown trans women who led those riots, which are a part of movement work, but are also a moment of joy. Women like Marsha P. Johnson and Sylvia Rivera led riots against the police, the carceral state, the entire patriarchy. And all of those forces are intertwined and terribly racist and sexist and anti-gay. And riots do not just dissent to those systems, they interrupt them. And to be clear, rioting is a tactic. And so context is very important. When white supremacists riot, that's bad. But when oppressed people take direct action to meet their needs and to take back power, that is good. Or it can be good. It's a very complex situation. And many people don't like riots as a tactic, no matter who does it. And most people didn't approve of the Stonewall riots, especially as they were happening. But history shows that those riots were very effective and powerful. And that riots and strikes and similar sort of direct actions can be very effective. Black trans women are still leading revolutionary movements, and they need our support because they are often targets of violence.
The Stonewall Riots really operated as a de facto community center for gay youth who were rendered homeless by familial and institutional rejection and who had taken refuge in these places when they didn't have anywhere else to go. And so we also see that riots are really central to survival in many communities, unlike the insurrection we saw on the 6th.
Yes, I absolutely agree with that. There is a really important aspect to the gay community, which is chosen family. And a lot of times people are rejected by their immediate or their biological families. And the gay community being able to take care of each other and to support each other with mutual aid, with community building is so important. And yes, those sort of riots are really life-giving as opposed to, like you said, the recent insurrectionist attempt.
While a solo performance, Ways of Trying includes several characters, including the musician, the femme, and my personal favorite, the cat. I was so moved by your performance of multiple identities contained in a single body as they interact with one another. What is at stake in allowing heteronormativity to go unchecked? And what is the significance of queer and trans resistance? And what kinds of visions do you see them casting for human sexuality and identity?
Heteronormativity is an extremely limited worldview. It supports binary thinking, conformity, labels, and assumptions. It's a part of the capitalist system that reduces human capacity and potential to what they can consume and produce. Forcing someone to be just one way is limiting at best and devastating at worst. Queer and trans resistance is more than just surviving in a heterosexual world. It is embracing exploration and discovery. It's about our beautiful uniqueness and thriving in the bodies and relationships and communities that we are in. Not necessarily what we were born into, but shining in who we are, which is constantly evolving. With those multiple characters that emerge in the show represent different facets of myself. And all of us are very multifaceted. And all of us are changing and evolving over time. And gender and sexuality in particular are aspects of ourselves that are fluid and that change over time. And that really goes for everyone, not just people who identify as queer. That evolution is a part of all of us. And so queer liberation is also for all people. It is expansive and it is opening for for all people. Queer liberation may be a threat to heteronormativity, but it is not a threat to heterosexuals. Being queer or gay looks a million different ways. There's no one way to experience sexuality. And so the joy and the freedom is in finding and feeling accepted as your unique gender and sexual identity. And that includes straight people. That includes people who are asexual. That includes everyone on all phases of the spectrum, or however you like to think about it.
Your play returns again and again to themes of shame and pride. At one point, your character says, "Shame doesn't have a place to pass through. It just sticks like slug slime on your fingers." How do you see shame working as a mechanism of social control and dominant narratives about sexuality?
Shame is often picked up culturally and carried internally. There are so many messages about shame and the body, shame and sex, shame and being different. It makes people try desperately to look or to act a certain way or to hide things about ourselves. And it often leads to a lot of unhappiness and self-hatred. Sexuality is a powerful and beautiful thing, and deeply personal and intimate. Controlling sexuality has always been a tool of the patriarchy and a way to consolidate power with cis men and with the state. In dominant narratives, we see shame used against people who are promiscuous, but also against people who don't have sex, people who have sex too young or too old, and people who deviate from narrowly defined heterosexual fertile marriages. And that all becomes insidiously internalized.
What does pride mean in the context of the play? And what do you see as its transformative power more broadly, especially when we recognize that sexuality has been used as a tool of control?
I use pride to describe a feeling that is the opposite of shame, but also use it as a reference to celebrations of gay pride. Radical pride is an acceptance of who you are at the root, and rejecting the notion that it should be hidden or changed. I reject heteronormalcy, but also the idea that there is one right or acceptable way to be queer. And I reject corporate pinkwashing, especially during pride festivals or performing support for gay rights to promote goods or to distract from oppression and violence. Pride is transformative when it embraces and celebrates diversity and community because it exists, not because it can be commodified. Pride is self-love. And transformation really starts with the self, and then it can move into personal relationships and then into the greater community. But it really starts with self-love and self-acceptance, and not trying to change or to morph who we are into what we think we should be, but celebrating the way that we are and the way that we express our love.
In Ways of Trying, you begin with an invocation and end with a spell in which you command yourself, the audience, or maybe the inner you and all of us to, quote, live in disobedience. Why is it important to practice disobedience in our inner lives and to celebrate the spirit of writing, particularly right now?
Yes, we start with the self and start with our inner lives. We can abolish the cop in our heads. But really, disobedience is a practice that goes beyond our inner lives. We have some laws that are unethical. So should we obey them? We have laws that are enforced differently for different races and classes. We have police and prison systems that have evolved from slavery to profit on the exploitation of labor and bodies, particularly of Black, Indigenous, and other people of color. Now, disobedience to me means following an ethical compass. It means dissent against oppression and a refusal to cooperate. It means anarchy, not as in chaos, but as in a free society without a state authority. And to celebrate rights, particularly in our current context, is to recognize that there are many societal injustices, and they may change in administration, but not in fundamental nature. And that's where we need real changes. We need real upheavals in the oppressions that affect us all, but particularly affect people of color and people who are disabled. A chant that I've heard in the streets this summer is, "This is not a riot, it's a revolution." And I think that speaks to the fact that the police will call even a peaceful vigil a riot in order to justify brutality and chemical warfare. And that is a real misuse of power. Not everything is a riot. Being out in the streets is not inherently a riot, but riots are a potential tool of the revolution, just one tool in the toolbox, but they can be very useful. And I want to challenge how often they are viewed and demonized.
Thank you so much, Tara. Again, Tara Hopringer here. Their play premieres on February 3rd, 2021, Ways of Trying. Tara, how can people view your play?
Well, this is a part of the Fertile Ground Festival of New Works, which is an 11-day festival of new works in theater, dance, multimedia, film. This year, it is all digital and it is all free. My show has its premiere on February 3rd at 7 p.m., and you can find it at the Fertile Ground Festival Facebook page, facebook.com/fertilegroundfestival/video. And after its premiere, it will also be available on YouTube under the Fertile Ground Festival YouTube page. And that will be available through February 15th for on-demand viewing at any time.
We all live together. We live together.